You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall as usual with you on this edition of the pod. We're going to look forward to the Turkish Airlines Open and the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open as well. Dave Tindall joining me on Skype this week. First of all, a good morning to you, Mr. Tindall.
Hello, Dave, and you seem to have a rather kind of enthusiastic voice, more so than normal. Why would that be, David?
The curse has been lifted, hasn't it, Dave Tindall? We've had a couple of tweets about that in the past, this podcast being cursed, but thankfully we just needed a huge hitting American to lift the curse, and it was Cameron Champ, a tip on the podcast last week, that won the Sanderson Farms Championship, and he birdied five of the last six. And when you hit it further than anyone else and put like a god, you've got every chance, Dave, and that's what Champ did last week.
Yes, and very well done to you with that tip, Dave, because you kind of said, didn't you, last week, that this might be the last chance you see him at this sort of price in that kind of event for, well, it'll be a while now, you would think, won't you, because he's become... Well, it's become a sort of internet favourite. You've seen Eddie Pepperell kind of saying he feels inadequate and everything. So he's some star, isn't he? He does look one of these future surefire hits, and he's proved that already.
I think it's just I know people become obsessed with distance off the tee, but when he's outpointing the longest players in the world by 30 yards, and when he won the Utah Championship on the web.com tour last season, averaging over 400 yards off the tee. I know that's at altitude, but it is a different game when you're doing that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Just phenomenal, really. And did you watch any of the sort of slow mos of his swing? It's just a thing of beauty as well, isn't it? Just seems to be in perfect.
Yeah, it's smooth power, isn't it? Rather than lashing the ball.
And yeah, it's just like, wow.
Yeah. So I think on resort courses in weak fields, he's not going to be that sort of price in the future.
So
hopefully a few people got on last week.
Yeah. He is playing this week, of course, but you probably looked. He is 33-1 this week, and some may argue that's still a price.
I think so. I think it's very reasonable. On the in the opposite event, I'm calling the HSBC the opposite event now, even though it's a WGC. Xander Schauffele won in China. A very impressive performance in difficult conditions on Sunday. I couldn't help but feel a little sorry for Tony Finau, who's been knocking at the door throughout the entire season. Didn't do much wrong, but he came up against a bona fide winner on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think Schauffele has seemed to have got this habit of playing well in big events, hasn't he? We saw it in the Open Championship. We first saw him really in the US Open. So he is a big-time player. And for some reason, he doesn't seem to get the same credit, does he, as other players? I don't know whether... just because he's a... Well, he hits it far enough. I don't know. He just doesn't... Maybe just this perception that he's a sort of plucky fella who's come through and is not quite a superstar for some reason. He's a bit lower key. But in terms of a potential bet, his value always seems to be there, doesn't he? So he's one to look out for, especially in the big events. It's ironic, really. You get the best price on him in the big events, and they're the ones he does best in. So definitely... That's a strategy to play him in the future.
Definitely. Let's get stuck into this week then, Dave. We'll start with the Turkish Airlines Open, where Justin Rose heads the betting at 4-1. Tommy Fleetwood is 7-1. Torbjörn Olesen, 14-1. Hao Tong Li is 16s. Shane Lowry, 18-1. Kiridek Appibarnerat is 20s. Lucas Biergaard is in the betting at 28-1, along with Thomas Peters, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. And the players are returning to Regnum Carrier Golf Club as the European Tour season moves towards its conclusion in Dubai. Players and caddies, Dave, they rave about how they're treated in Turkey And if you're active on social media, you'll have seen many an Instagram post and a Twitter post about the location. Not that we're that bothered about that, Dave, these players getting treated this week. We're just searching for the winner. But it is it seems to be a venue that the players really enjoy.
Yeah, I think they are treated very well. I went to the event when it was held at the previous venue as well, and it was all these sort of seven-star,
yeah,
all-inclusive hotels. And you just think, wow, this is a rather pleasant way to spend your life for the week. That was back in the days when Victor Dubuisson was winning this event twice. So yeah, it seems a while ago, but yes, Justin Rose took the title last year. He'd won a match play event in Turkey as well, and he's the defending champion, as he was last week. Made a good fist of it last week, didn't he? Just got picked by the two Americans. So I said before in these sort of podcasts, and I will put this up as a tip a bit later on, I will be looking to do the old cross Atlantic doubles or cross tour doubles. I'm not sure what sea is Turkey on? Caspian?
I'll
bit of sea knowledge.
Yeah,
sea,
I'll yield to your superior knowledge there.
One of the seas, big seas.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's going to be part of that. But I've got one. Only I've actually got more picks than the other one. I think you said you have as well.
Yeah.
I've just got one kind of value pick in Turkey.
Yeah, me too. Just a bit about the course. Par 71, measuring 7,159 yards. Quite a bit of room off the tee here as well, Dave. The greens are larger than standard. It's pretty much all about accurate iron play and setting up birdie opportunities this week, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any tricks, and I don't think you should have a negative next to your name if you've not played this course before. I think you can sort of rock up and look at it and think, yeah, I've sort of kind of comfortable in this before, because I mean, this is obviously the big highlight of the year, but this course is used as a resort venue.
Yeah.
So we've seen that lots of times on the European Tour and on the PGA Tour. So they've got to have it so members can enjoy it and visitors can enjoy it. So no tricks this week. I just think it's there for the taking, really.
And you're positive on Rose this week then. Let's start with Justin Rose. He's a 4-1 market leader. You said that you're going to put him in a double this week. My concerns with Rose is he's played quite a lot of golf recently, was defending champion last week, defending this week, hosted at Walton Heath. I just wonder whether there's a possibility he might run out of a bit of steam.
Yeah, possibly. I know exactly what you're saying. It's just I remember this time last year when he was kind of hoovering up everything, and you know, his last five starts, 3-8, 4-2-2.
Yeah.
So he's only just getting pipped by the very best, and to be honest, are the very best in this field this week. I'm not sure he's got an awful lot to beat.
Okay. I've got one pick as well. I'll let you lead off then, Dave. You said you've got a value selection here.
Well, I hope so. I wonder if we're on the same one, but I don't know. Marcus Kinnult.
No, I'm not on Marcus Kinnult this week. No.
Yeah.
80-1.
80-1. So I said before, kind of justifying my own pick, that you don't really need to have seen the course before, I don't think, because it's a kind of standard golfing test.
Yeah.
Well, I think the last time we saw one of those was the Portugal Masters, again a kind of resort kind of venue on the Algarve. Well, Kinnult turned up there and finished tied fourth, so I think that bodes very well. He shot 68, a pair of middle 65s and a 69, so tied fourth at the Portugal Masters on a course where he had to go low. Followed that with tied 20th in the Alfred Dunhill Links, so that was another nice knock. And then I thought he did really well as well to take tied 22nd in the Andalusia Masters at Valderrama. What I like there, when you drill down towards his stats, is he was first for putting average in Valderrama, also third for putting average at the British Masters, where he was a little bit down the field, ninth for putting average in Portugal. So his putter is hot, and I think that is a key weapon for the youngster going into this week. We saw him finish fifth, didn't we, in the Open de France, which shows, you know, he can play the difficult course as well also. But it's that fourth in Portugal that I like, because I think he's doing the same thing. He's turning up at a resort course where you need to have a hot putter.
Yeah.
And I was honestly thinking he'd be 50, 66 tops, but we're going 80s. I think that's a really nice price.
Okay, 80-1 Marcus Kinnult is Dave's selection. I'm going for a youngster with no course experience as well here. Dave, I'm going with Matthias Schwab in this event. He's 125-1. I do like, away from Rose and Fleetwood, I like a few at the top end of the market, but I think that three figures about Schwab makes definite appeal. He's a player that's improving quickly and comes into this in tip-top shape as well, having finished in a tie for 27th in Portugal and followed that up with a tie for 10th in the Alfred Dunhill and a tie for 22nd on his most recent start in the British Masters. He's ranked inside the top 20 for greens in reg in all three of those performances, which augurs well for this week. And I think he will have learned a lot from his Sunday experience at the Porsche European Open a few months ago as well. There's not that much science in this one, Dave, just basically taking a punt on three figures or at three figures about a player with a progressive profile on a course that should suit.
Yeah, I think the only other thing I did a little, what they call, blurb for him on Roto World.
Okay.
Funnily enough, yesterday, one of the things I just put at the end was he's 78th on the race to Dubai, so he's obviously trying to keep going all the way to the final event, the DP World Tour Championship. We need to be in the top 60 for that. So at 78th, I think he's got that extra bit of incentive to push on. As you said, he's got those nice greens and red numbers and some nice form as well.
Oh, good. Matthias Schwab, 125-1 is my selection, going at a point each way on him. Let's talk about the players that just about missed the cut, Dave, as far as our picks are concerned. Who did you like elsewhere?
I certainly like Hao Tong Lee. I thought he did well last week and under quite a bit of pressure in front of his home fans to finish 11th. Good form before that as well. Kudash Jeffrey Barnard, I think, should go well. He's a player who can be quite streaky, so back to form last week. I like him. They're 16s and 20s, respectively. Ollison, they'll be on Ollison. I think he's still on a bit of a Ryder Cup high, so he should go well. So certainly, though, those at the front end of the market, I certainly like the look of quite a few.
Yeah, they were all a little bit short, weren't they?
That's what ultimately put me off.
I thought Hao Tong Lee was of obvious interest, given that he's finished 5th. 9th and 11th in his last three starts, including that good performance last week. And the one that I really liked at the top of the betting, tempted by, was Thomas Peters at 28-1. I think there's a lot of incentive for Peters to finish this season strongly. After a brilliant couple of years, he hasn't won since the maiden in Denmark in late 2016, which obviously sealed his spot on the Ryder Cup team. But there have been glimpses he's returning to his best. He was tied 6th at the PGA Championship and last week tied 18th at the HSBC. And he was 11th in this last year as well. He'd be the one if I was searching for a second bet at the top end of the market, Thomas Peters.
Yes, fair enough. Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Yeah.
Should we move on?
Yes, let's go to Vegas.
We've got plenty of selections in Vegas this week. Dave's got three and I've got two for the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open. And this is a favourite of the fall series. And generally, it's a birdie fest. However, last year was a definite exception with the wind really picking up, which I think affects the overall profile of the tournament, Dave. I'd even be tempted to throw out last year's results if you're looking at course fit here, because it really was an anomaly with Patrick Cantlay winning with a total of 9 under par. Prior to that, in the 9 previous editions in which TPC Summerlin played sole host, the highest winning score was 16 under. So that was a real shock last year, Dave.
Yeah, and I don't think the wind is forecast to be anything like that this week. So I'd expect to get it back to that kind of 20 under region again, you have to say. Mm.
By the way, we're betting 11-1 the field here with William Hill. Ricky Fowler and Tony Finau both 11-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 12-1. Jordan Spieth 12-1. Webb Simpson 14s. Gary Woodland 16-1. Patrick Cantlay is 18-1, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. The course is situated in Las Vegas, Nevada, and you'd expect conditions to be firm and fast. Only players to a yardage of 7,255 and a par of 71. And given that it's at altitude as well, Dave, some of that yardage is even negated. So it's basically a putting competition, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a slight maybe perception that you just need to thrash it a mile. But a lot of the players talk about this being a positional course. So I think you attack it from the fairway, really. I don't think you can just hit it miles. There's a bit of water in play around the green. So you've got to sort of be if you're going in from the fairway, I think that helps. So you've seen down the years people like Jim Furyk have an excellent record in this event. And I think as well, one thing I was thinking about this week, when you see somebody like Cameron Champ win, you kind of think, oh no, the world's changing and the old guys are just going to get trampled on and it's all about the youth. But you've only got to go back a month or two for Tiger Woods winning the Tour Championship and Keegan Bradley winning the one before that. So, Brant Snedeker had a win as well. So sometimes there's that little kind of thing, right, all we need to do this week is look at the web.com sort of qualifiers and that's it, and the old guys have had it. But I think the old guys might just come back into it this week.
I've got one from each camp with my two selections, but you've got three picks for this, Dave, so I'll let you fire away.
Again, this was one of those ones where my own perception of his price was different in a good way to what the reality was. I'm going with Martin Laird at 80-1.
He's my first pick.
Right.
So we're matching there.
I'm sure we're going to say the same sort of things. He's got a win here before, runner-up the year after. Always seems to play well on the West Coast and in Nevada. Done well in the Barracuda, actually 15th in the Barracuda only a couple of months back. But he's more than that, I think, as well. He's in really good form, and he was tied 7th at the Sanderson Farms last week. Middle rounds of 67, 66. Scrambled really well. He's just someone I think you should always think of in this part of the world, in these conditions, as a possibility. So when he's 80-1 on the back of a tied 7th the week before, and some doubts maybe at the front end of the market, I just thought that was like green for go. I'm on Martin Laird there. No, not even thinking about that one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And obviously lives in the desert as well, so plenty of experience given that he resides in Scottsdale, just down the road in Arizona. And it was encouraging to see him put so well last week, and he talked about that in the post-round press conferences as well. He couldn't quite back up his Saturday 66 with another low one on Sunday, but I think that will give him so much confidence going into one of his favourite tour stops of the season, Dave. I think 80-1 is definitely underrating his chance.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. I'm not sure we've ever actually had a joint winner together, but you never know.
No, hopefully it'll be this week.
After you turned the corner last week, this is
onwards and upwards.
This is where we kick on.
80-1, Martin Laird. Give us your second selection then, Dave.
Well, again, I'm sort of going back to very obvious recent history. Ryan Moore at 50s.
Okay.
Again, it's kind of, I got him in my head in this event as a sort of 33-1 shot, and forever it shall be. And when you think about the last time we saw him play on American soil, he was a runner-up in the Safeway Open. So if you told me then, right, Ryan Moore will be 50s for his hometown event. Ryan Moore went to UNLV, lives in Las Vegas, won this event before. There's no way I would have thought he could possibly be 50s.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, since then, he's gone to the CIMB Classic and the CJ Cup and not done an awful lot, to be honest. But you kind of look at his round scores there. They're just sort of okay. They're nothing terrible. I think his worst was a 73. So he's hardly flopped. He's just not got it going in those two Asian events. I know he's done well particularly well in the CIMB Classic before, but this time, okay, he's gone to Asia. It's not worked out. No worries about that. We talked earlier about this being a positional course. Well, even though he didn't do much on the Asian swing there, he still hit the ball straight, ranked in the top 15 for driving accuracy at the CJ and the CIMB. First for driving accuracy at the Safeway Open. So that's what he does well. He's a very, very straight hitter of the ball, Ryan Moore, and that will give him a ton of chances on this course. All he needs to do is hold a few putts. And I think, obviously, he's played this course so many times, you'll know all the subtle breaks. Again, 50s was just better than I was expecting. I mean, he was, as well as that second at the Safeway, was 6 at the Wyndham a few starts earlier. He's had some decent form without really sort of ruining his price, really. But I was just surprised to see 50s.
Okay, 50-1. Ryan Moore is Dave's second pick. I'm going the other end of the scale in terms of experience versus youth.
Yeah,
I'm going Adam Schenk as my other pick at 80-1. He started the season in scintillating form with a tie for 14th at the Safeway, followed by a tie for 7th at the Sandersons last week. And he finished the Web.com season with 3 top 10s as well, culminating with a tie for 8th at the Tour Championship to get his card. And he's clearly just in a purple patch at the moment. And what I like about Schenk is the way he's been putting. He's keeping the ball in play, giving himself loads of opportunities. Was 5th in putting at the Sandersons, 28th at the Safeway. I'm not certain yet of his overall ability, Dave, but at this stage, happy to catch him at 80s while he's hot. And even though I wouldn't put too much stock in last year's results at this course, in this event, he did finish 20th, which was maybe a positive experience. So I thought that 80-1 on Adam Schenk was overpriced.
Yeah, I think so. If you can get these youngsters at these big prices, and this is the time to get them, if you can get the right one, that's the way to do it.
I think you've mentioned him a couple of times, haven't you, on the podcast? Maybe just as honourable mentions.
Yes.
So far this season.
Yeah, so he's someone kind of on our radar, yeah, isn't he? And you kind of keep him there and just wait to see if he's a decent enough price. And I like our prices this week, I have to say.
Let's have another pick from you then, Dave, final one.
Yeah, so I'm going to end with a player who's, you would categorise as course horse. He's played this tournament 4 times and he's come in the top 5 twice. I'm talking about Chesson Hadley.
All right, okay.
5th on his debut in 2013, opened with a 65. Then last year, when it was tougher, you look at his final 3 rounds, 65, 69, 68 in those conditions. Basically lost his winning chance on day 1 when he shot 74, but I thought that was an excellent comeback from him. So he's got the course form nicely kind of ticked there. But again, he's someone with a very recent second place, like Ryan Moore. Hadley was a runner-up in the CIMB Classic at the middle of October. 67, 68, pair of 66s on the weekend. So that was a little run from him. He does tend to string good results together. There might be a kind of odd duff one in there, and he didn't play that well in the CJ Cup. But generally, when he gets a nice result, he tends to the next good one isn't too far away. So I think after that second place in Malaysia, there, I think he could come back to the US mainland and strike again. And again, 50s. I think I was thinking because of that course, or maybe 40s would be a more realistic price for him. So I'm happy to play those tips this week, all at 50-1 or higher. I think they're good prices.
Very good. Very good. There were a couple of other players, there were quite a few players definitely on my radar. Cameron Champ was one of them.
Yes, I thought he might be. At least some chips on the table.
Yeah, well, I think given his win was in Utah on the web.com tour, and he putted incredibly well last week, and I think if he hadn't cracked his driver going into the final round, he might have won by more. I think that definitely unsettled him early on Sunday. Didn't drive the ball well as he had done on Friday or Saturday. The two things that kind of put me off is plotters can go well around this golf course, and the price is obviously a lot shorter than last week in a stronger field. But then I think you've got to recalibrate with Cameron Champ quickly, and 33-1 I thought was fair. Just preferred the other two guys ahead of him. JJ Spawn has been well backed. He's into 80-1 now. Plays well in the desert and was good at the CJ Cup. And Carlos Ortiz was another one. Finished 3rd last week and came with a great run on Sunday. And he's only played this event once and finished inside the top 20. So those three, I think, away from the two that I've selected.
Yeah, all good. Others I looked at, Anders Albertsen. Liked him last week. He's 100s this week, so he's coming here on the back of a top 5, so should be full of confidence.
He struck it very well from tee to green, didn't he, as well? I think he was number one tee to green.
He did get to win in 2, actually, in the final round, so he really, you know, if he'd had a hot finish, bogeyed the last, and I know Champ pulled away, but I thought Albertsen worked his way through the field very, very nicely last week.
Yeah.
Abraham Anser keeps coming up with these top sort of pay out each way places. He's 80s again there. Doesn't seem to get... I don't know why he doesn't seem to get as much recognition as some others. Sometimes you think it's just they don't have a great name, but he's got a nice AA, you know, alliterative name. What's going on?
Yeah, I think I thought 80-1 was puts well on Bentgrass as well, doesn't he? So I thought he'd go okay.
Yeah. So, but at the front end of the market, I talked earlier about Rose. I'm going to have a little end with a little double.
Okay.
So I think you can give decent chances to the plenty of the front end, but I would argue at the prices, Fowler doesn't win enough for an 11-1 shot. Finau doesn't either. Plus, Finau is coming back from a long trip from China. Jordan Spieth, what's he doing here? Is he sort of naughty boy punishment?
I think he's added this and Mayakoba to his calendar. So I think the PGA Tour never release any statements about punishments, do they? It's very much kept in house, but you would have to believe that this is, he's on the naughty boy step for last season. So he's added these two to his schedule.
Yeah, so there's an element with him, he might be trying to try hard, but you can't think for 1 minute. He hasn't been trying to try his butt off in every event he ever plays. So he's not won since last year's Open. So I thought, if I'm going to pair somebody with Justin Rose, I think the only one that you can really justify at the front end of the market would have to be Bryson DeChambeau in terms of recent wins.
Okay.
He's won, twice in his last four starts. He also won the Memorial. So he's been a bit of a winning machine of late. And he's done well in this event before, tied 36 on debut. And then last year he was tied seventh, bookend 67. So I thought, if I'm looking for a doubling up opportunity, it would have to be him. He's the only one you could really say it was fair. A DeChambeau Rose double that pays 64-1, David.
Okay, very good. I tell you who I liked at the top end of the market, but he was just a little bit too short for me. Aaron Wise,
28-1
was just that little bit. As soon as I came to look at this event, the first name I thought of was Aaron Wise. But I was just hoping for a slightly, folly of me to expect better, given that he comes into this in very good form at the end of last season, made it to the Tour Championship as a rookie. Only two players did that. I think Austin Cook was the other one. And he called this place home for a long time before moving south to Arizona. And I think it's a good fit for him because he puts so strongly. And he finished tied 10th on his debut in the event and tied 32nd in his second appearance. But I was looking back through some video interviews with him following his tie for 10th a couple of years ago. And he talked about how he wasn't even playing his absolute best to finish tied for 10th. And I think on the Saturday it was, he had 3-3 putts in that round. And if he'd have been slightly cleaner, he would have finished second. I think he'll go well, Wise.
I think we could put him in don't want to win category.
I think definitely he's the player I wouldn't want to win this weekend. Yeah. Wise at 28-1. Who's the player you don't want to win, Dave?
Well, last week it was Tony Finau, so I thought that's going to happen, isn't it? And probably not for the first time.
Yeah.
This week probably be Hao Tong Li, he's the one that I was put off by his price.
Yeah, I think that's fair, very fair comment. He was the last one off my list, but I think 16-1 is short on him.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, let's recap the selections then. Dave Tindall, got plenty this week.
Yes, so I will go with a point each way Marcus Kinnelt in the Turkish Airlines Open.
80-1.
And then in the Shriners Open in Las Vegas, going to go a point each way on each of these three. Martin Laird at 80s, Ryan Moore at 50s, and Chesson Hadley at 50s. And then getting a bit carried away with the staking plan possibly, but I do like this week. I'm going to go a point each way on the double of Justin Rose and Bryson DeChambeau. That's 64-1, the double.
Very good. I like it. I'm going a point each way, Matthias Schwab, at 125-1 in the Turkish Airlines Open and in the Shriners. A point each way, Martin Laird at 80-1 and Adam Schenk at 80-1 as well. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Thank you, Dave, and well done again on last week. Hopefully this is a streak you're on now.
Hopefully we'll get another winner this week. If you want to follow us both on Twitter, by the way, you can do at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Make sure you check out all the betting at williamhill.com as well. And available on the app. And if you want to access all William Hill's podcasts, go to audioboom.com and type in William Hill. Thanks again for listening and tuning into the podcast. Good luck with your bets this week, and we'll speak again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.